Our next presenter is Kara Bicking-Kinsey. Kara is a doctoral student in nursing at the Pennsylvania State University, and her research focuses on the relationship between previous perinatal loss and maternal depression, and maternal infant bonding after the birth of a subsequent child. Kara, thank you.
Thank you, and good morning. I'm going to talk about the validity and reliability of a modified version of the postpartum bonding instrument that we developed. And I first want to acknowledge my co-authors and my mentors, Keisha Baptiste Roberts, who's here, and Kristen Karoff, who is the principal investigator for the study and could not be here. And I have no financial disclosure. So just some background information about maternal infant bonding. The transition to the role of mother is one of the most challenging and significant developmental processes in the human experience. So I think that's pretty much a given. And in this study, we defined maternal infant bonding according to a recent concept analysis as an affective state of the mother. Maternal feelings and emotions towards the infant are the primary indicator of maternal infant bonding. So I wanted to put that in there because in the literature there's sometimes some conflicting definitions. And although many mothers make the transition to motherhood smoothly, there are cases where maternal infant bonding is suboptimal. In these cases, we know there can be poor outcomes for mothers and babies, as impairments in maternal infant bonding are associated with maternal depression and can also lead to abuse or neglect of the child. So, more background, there are some instruments available to measure maternal infant bonding by self-report. One is the postpartum bonding questionnaire, also called the PBQ, and I'll say that almost by habit, just say PBQ. So, it was developed by Brockington and colleagues, and it's a 25-item screening questionnaire. It was designed to identify women at risk for mother-infant relationship disorder, and as such, sensitivity and specificity for detecting bonding disorders were tested, and a cutoff score for screening bonding disorders is established. Another commonly used scale is the mother-to-infant bonding scale, developed by Taylor and colleagues. It's an 8-item scale that asks questions, simple emotions about how the mother feels about the baby, such as loving or resentment. So we designed a modified version of the postpartum bonding questionnaire because we wanted to measure variations in maternal infant bonding in the general population rather than screening specifically for bonding disorders. We also needed a scale that was shorter than 25 items in order to include a measure of maternal infant bonding in our large telephone survey. So I'm sure everybody can relate to that. So the objective of this study is to report on the validity and reliability of the modified PBQ. So that's what I'll refer to it as. So as a student, I'm very fortunate to be part of the first baby study. This is a prospective cohort study conducted in Pennsylvania. 3,006 women are enrolled in the first baby study. And for my particular presentation today, the sample is 3,005 because we had one woman who did not answer the modified PBQ questions. So just very close. Our study is actually designed to investigate the association between mode of first delivery and subsequent childbearing. And we recruited women ages 18 to 35 who were expecting their first singleton delivery. Interviews for the present study were conducted in the third trimester of pregnancy at 34 weeks or later, and then again 1 month after delivery. The first baby study actually goes to 3 years postpartum, but I'm just using the 1 month and the baseline data. So a little bit about our modified instrument. It is a 13-item scale, and six of these items were exact copies of items from the PBQ scale. We have four items then that were just reworded from the PBQ scale in order to get some more clarity, we felt. So for example, we changed "I love my baby to bits" to "I love my baby with all my heart." As you laugh, because two bits might not be, I don't know, you might think that's not good. So we wanted to make it more clear. Another example is we changed "I feel happy when my baby smiles or laughs" to "I feel happy when my baby looks at me." And that's because we were using it at 1 month. And so developmentally, of course, babies may not smile or laugh very much at 1 month. There's a couple other just minor changes. "I regret having this baby" was changed to "I wish I'd never had this baby." I think we were just trying to make the vocabulary more simple. And "I feel confident when changing my baby," we inserted "changing my baby's diapers" for clarity. And then in addition to these 10 items, we added three statements of maternal confidence. The potential scores ranged from 13 to 65, with higher scores indicating better maternal infant bonding. So the measures we used for the study, at the baseline interview, we measured the demographic characteristics, including age, race and ethnicity, education, income and marital status, among other things. And at the 1 month postpartum interview, we administered the modified PBQ, and we also measured infant colic, breastfeeding status, maternal pain frequency, and also maternal stress, social support, and postnatal depression. So these are all self-report, and I just wanted to point out that we did use the full version of the Edinburgh Postnatal Depression Scale, and I feel that's important because in almost all the studies of maternal infant bonding, especially the ones that use the PBQ, they use this scale as a comparison. So our statistical analysis, we first completed exploratory factor analysis to determine if the scale consisted of more than one factor. We then examined the reliability using common methods such as determining the Cronbach's alpha, etc. And we examine construct validity by determining the correlation or association between modified PBQ scores and other theoretically associated variables. So these are the results of our exploratory factor analysis. You can see that actually we use the eigenvalues rule greater than 1, eigenvalues greater than 1, and a scree plot, both to determine that there were three additional factors in the modified PBQ. And we called them emotional bond, confidence, and then acceptance or rejection. And this table just shows the how many items were in each scale or subscale, the mean, the standard deviation of scores, the range, and the Cronbach's alpha. You can see that the total modified PBQ Cronbach's alpha was acceptable at 0.773. And the alphas for factors 1 and 2 are also relatively high. The only factor that was a little low is the acceptance or rejection factor, which could partially be related to the fact that it's only three items. This is more detail about our factor analysis results. Factor 1, emotional bond, explains 17.6% of the variance. It included items such as "I love to cuddle my baby," and I feel distant from my baby. The second factor, confidence. This was made up of one confidence item from the original PBQ and the three that we added. It explains 17.1% of the variance. And examples include, when my baby is fussy, I am very good at calming the baby down. And also, I feel confident when changing my baby's diapers. Factor three, acceptance or rejection, explained 14.2% of the variance and included statements such as, my baby annoys me, and I wish the old days when I had no baby would come back. So moving into our analysis for construct validity, two variables are shown here. And we looked at the relationship between modified PBQ scores and infant colic and maternal pain frequency. So these were both measured at 1 month postpartum. The associations between these variables and R scale actually were significant in the expected direction. Mothers who reported that their infants were colicky had lower bonding scores, and mothers who reported increasing frequency of pain had decreasing bonding scores, so that the mothers who reported pain all of the time at 1 month postpartum had the lowest scores. We also found significant correlations between each of these variables here and the modified PBQ scores. Maternal health was positively correlated, indicating that women who reported better health had better bonding scores. Likewise, higher levels of social support were associated with higher bonding scores. Maternal stress and postpartum depression were negatively correlated with modified PBQ scores, indicating that women with higher levels of stress or more depressive symptoms had lower bonding scores. So in conclusion, we believe that the factor analysis yielded three factors that fit theoretical models of maternal infant bonding. Just in comparison to the original PBQ, they did two different exploratory factor analyses and found similar factors. So many of our items from our factor one, emotional bond, were similar or the same items as were found in Brockington's factor one, which he called a general measure of bonding. We also achieved Cronbach's alpha comparable to previously published alphas in studies using the full version of the PBQ and in several languages. So only one of these studies is actually in English. Everybody translated the scale. So correlations between the modified PBQ and other theoretically associated variables were found in the expected direction, supporting our construct validity. Our study does have some limitations that deserve comment. First, the sample of women in the first baby study is not exactly a representative sample of women having their first baby in Pennsylvania. Our study participants were a little bit older. They were more likely to be non-Hispanic white, and they were more educated. Furthermore, according to Brockington and colleagues, the gold standard for determining maternal-infant relationship strength is direct observation, so we were definitely not able to do that. And our sample did not specifically target women who were seeking treatment for maternal-infant bonding disorders, which would have given us a lot more variability in our sample. Finally, the extant literature notes a possible effect of social desirability on the self-report of maternal infant bonding. Although this is a limitation, when comparing modified PBQ scores for independent groups of women or trying to measure changes in bonding over time, this limitation can be controlled for. We believe our study has several strengths, including the use of a large sample of women for whom data was prospectively collected. Also, the inclusion of women having their first baby eliminates the potentially confounding effect of relationships with other children and also previous parenting experiences. In conclusion, we have demonstrated validity and reliability of a short instrument for measuring maternal infant bonding. We believe the modified PBQ to be very valuable in filling a gap created by the need for a short instrument for the purposes of researching maternal infant bonding variations in population-based samples. And so to acknowledge our funding, the parent study is funded by the National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. As I said, Dr. Kiroff is the principal investigator. And I'm also funded by a fellowship from the National Institute for Nursing Research. And I have references, if you're interested. Yeah.
And then the other question was if there's any association between the scores and breastfeeding.
Okay, so the first part of your question, we do have that data. I didn't actually look at it, even though it's an interesting point. I don't recall any theoretical association between weight retention and bonding, but it would be interesting to look at. So we probably could. We could look at that and see, just for fun. And then the second thing was breastfeeding, right? I didn't include that in my abstract for the presentation, so I don't have it on the slide, but I think I put it, yeah. So I ran additional analyses for construct validity, and breastfeeding was actually a little bit opposite of what you might expect. Those mothers who were breastfeeding at 1 month had lower bonding scores. And so my thoughts on that is just, I think that breastfeeding is so difficult, and it's something that a lot of moms, first-time moms especially, don't know that it's supposed to be difficult. I mean, they think it's supposed to be easy. So in the first month, maybe it's just such a challenge that breastfeeding moms may have a little different experience.
And that's why I would also ask about the postpartum weight, because for some women, that's
true.
Body's not back, so to speak, and they might be distracted from the bonding. I mean, I'm just typing.
Yeah.
We said there's no theoretical.
Well, there's nothing in the literature, yeah, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
And we have data, as far as I know, on weight at 1 month, 6 months, and 12 months. So we could look at that. Yeah.
To the literature.
Okay. Yes.
Do you also have
I believe we ask about breastfeeding. Diana, do you want to answer? She's nodding her head.
Yes, we do. I'm sorry. Yes, we do. We follow them as long as they breastfeed and find out exactly what they do, up to 3 years now.
Hi, during presentation, do you have maybe you already ran an analysis of how your results stand differed by different rates and methods?
I didn't stratify anything by race and ethnicity or geographic location, so I didn't actually run analyses, but when I did just a simple ANOVA, I found that non-Hispanic white women and women identified as other had the lowest bonding scores. So, and our other categories are non-Hispanic, black, and Hispanic. So we just those four categories. But this all, and I didn't put it on the slide because it sort of took up a lot of time, but the demographics are very interesting. more educated women had lower scores, white women had lower scores, married women had lower scores. So that's where I think the social desirability part comes in, because it's those women who have been, like in the literature says, they are more willing to report less socially desirable things, such as not being 100% happy with your baby, or, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Did you look at planned versus unplanned pregnancies?
Yes, I think I did. I looked at so many things. So it was significant whether pregnancy intention, where the pregnancy was intended was significant for bonding scores, but I have yet to run the individual comparison. The reason I didn't include this, because I think it's kind of confusing, like the wanted to be pregnant sooner and wanted to be pregnant at that time have the same score. And then there's higher scores for wanting to be pregnant later on. And I think that could possibly be related to the demographics. So many things, yeah.
Kind of overwhelming.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.